ABC Radio Australia.
South Sea Islanders in Australia say they hope that apology for historic blackbirding will help secure better rights for today's seasonal workers from the Pacific. The Mayor of Bundaberg, Jack Dempsey, has issued that formal apology for the trafficking of around 62,000 people from Vanuatu and Solomon Islands who worked in Queensland's sugarcane fields between the 1860s and the early 1900s. As Mackenzie Smith reports, the Mayor said sorry in the face of lobbying from South Sea Islander community leaders and Vanuatu's High Commission.
For many South Sea Islanders, who are the Australian descendants of Melanesian people kidnapped in the 19th century, the treatment of seasonal workers is a reminder of blackbirding. Jane Smith lives in Bundaberg, but her grandparents were taken from Tanna in Vanuatu. She says it's hard not to see the parallels.
Our people today, the seasonal workers, are getting treated the same way as my forefathers, my grandparents got treated. But they came over in a ship. These fellows are coming over in an aeroplane. They're still getting unfairly treated from a lot of these farmers.
Blackbirding was presented as consensual labour, but was often coercive and exploitative and involved the kidnapping, enslavement and murder of Pacific Islanders. Thousands of labourers died in Australia from being mistreated or overworked. Mrs. Smith works with many Ngāi Vanuatu seasonal workers in Bundaberg, and she says they are hard worked, often face unreasonable pay deductions, and are unaware of their rights. In February, Vanuatu's High Commissioner to Australia, Samson Fare, claimed a group of seasonal workers in Bundaberg had received death threats after they were sacked. Mrs. Smith says she'd like to see conditions improve, and the Mayor's apology is a start, but only a start.
We've read some of their pay slips and it's horrendous, the deductions that are taken out of their pays. They've got to enforce it. Sorry's not enough.
The apology followed talks between Mrs. Smith, her husband and Mr. Fare, and the Bundaberg City Council. A sister city agreement was also signed with Luganville in Vanuatu. Mr. Dempsey says the partnership will explore areas like agriculture, tourism and clean water. But the president of Australian South Sea Islanders Port Jackson, Imelda Davis, says the agreement is broad enough to allow protections for seasonal workers to be strengthened.
That is about empowering Australian South Sea Islander organisations to do this actual work because they already exist in those regions. When these seasonal workers walk around our townships and they're looking at people like us, before we even open our mouths, they can tell us where we're from.
Ms. Davis says she hopes the apology will also be the catalyst for a conversation on self-determination for South Sea Islanders.
It gives me hope that Australia's listening. We get lip service all the time, eh? But this is quite significant, and that agreement endorses that. And I think it could have a domino effect across the nation.
Clive Moore, a professor of history at Queensland University who has written extensively about the blackbirding saga, says an acknowledgement at city level is unprecedented. He believes it will make more of a difference than previous state and national apologies.
The Prime Minister is irrelevant to the local islander community in a sense. So are the premiers. The people they interact with are at a local level. And when you get cultural money for islander community centres or projects and things like that, it almost always comes through the state, but it's distributed at a local level, often through the council.
Dr. Moore says cities in Australia have historically been reluctant to acknowledge the history of blackbirding, but they should face up to it. Vanuatu's opposition leader, Ralph Reganvanu, says while the Bundaberg apology is welcome, he wants to see a national South Sea Islanders body set up in Australia to coordinate with Pacific governments.
That report from Mackenzie Smith. We're joined now by Dr. David Welshman-Gagior, who is a research officer at Solomon Islands at National University. David, good morning. Welcome to Pacific Beat.
Good morning. Thank you.
So South Sea Islanders in Bundaberg pushed very hard for this apology. Now that they've got it, I mean, what would you see as the wider significance?
Well, I see this as very significant and sort of a bit late. But having said that, I'm as a Solomon Islander and as someone from Malaita, whose people comprised, I think, the largest number of blackbirders from the South Pacific. This is really, really great news. Very good news. It's a bit late in coming, but we have to start somewhere. And my question is now, what what did it, or what does it take so long, but what does it involve? What does it cost to say sorry to someone that you've done something wrong to? It's a question that seems to be skipped all the time, every time we talk about someone apologizing for something, especially at the level of government. It usually took so long. And I'm just saying, very good. This is really, really wonderful. I salute this this move on the part of the Queensland mayor. But it is sort of a bit late.
Well, and I think there would be a lot of people who would share your view on that particular point. And we were talking a little earlier in the program about the apology issued in New Zealand over the weekend following the Dawn raids in the 1970s. Obviously, more recently than blackbirding, but they took a long time to get their apology too. But if we throw forward in the light of what's happened in Bundaberg, I mean, would you expect to, if you like, a snowball effect? I mean, there are other parts of Australia where blackbirding took place. I mean, surely they should be the ones now that come forward and apologise too. Then you really would, if they don't, then you really would have a complaint about why not.
Yeah, that's very true. I mean, I see this as a starting point, the Queensland mayor doing this, and hopefully this will lead to other mayors in other states of Australia to come forward and do the same thing. I mean, it can't just be Queensland, because the blackbirding was a phenomenon that helped the Australian economy, not just in Queensland, but in other states as well. So I'm really hoping that, yes, other states will do the same thing. And that would be wonderful.
What about the financial side of this? There are claims that have been made by ancestors of blackbirded workers. There is money still owed. Getting those claims settled clearly has been very, very difficult. I mean, this too should become easier now, shouldn't it, as a result of what's happened in Bundaberg?
Let's hope. That'll be great. Although I'm not a scholar on the economic side of things, but that would be wonderful. But I think let's do one thing at a time. And I think this apology is a great step in that direction. And if, say, after this, there's more push for economic side of things, then I think that'd be wonderful. I'm all for that.
What do you think of the concept that's being floated now that, again, as a result of what's happened in Bundaberg, perhaps there will be more conversations about blackbirding, and those conversations in turn could help the seasonal workers of today who, let's face it, have encountered some difficulties in recent times here in Australia? I mean, do you see a direct connection between the two issues?
I think so. I think so. And if it's not forthcoming, it's something that should be cultivated. And I think in an interview last year, the year before, I was asked that question by Radio Austria as well, that for me is the one of the best thing as steps towards healing is people talking openly about blackbirding, laying the stories and talking about it, whether in its horrible form or whatever. But I think it's a story, or it's a phenomenon, or it's part of the history, because it is part of Australian and Pacific Island history too. So I think the more we talk about it, the better, and then the more people will understand it, and then they'll come to know that this is something that happened that was sort of required of that time, and that we need to be open about it, and that will, for me, will lead to a transformation of thinking and the empowerment of being empowered with knowledge, and then we can move forward and talk about just something that happened, and we need to face up to it, and not always sweep it under the rug, because the moment we keep it, when we keep hiding it, we keep being ashamed of it, keep being angry about it. That's, I think, when it can lead to bigger problems. We need to just be open about it and talk about it, and so forth.
Is it an issue, therefore, that people in Solomon Islands for now at least, are reluctant to talk about. And possibly, again, what has happened in Bundaberg could be the catalyst to allow a lot of people to say what's been on their mind for a long time, but they just felt it wasn't appropriate.
No, I don't think here in Solomon, it's not that people don't talk about it, not because they don't want to talk about it. It's just that there hasn't been much done on it. I mean, our history books in the schools really are badly written, so that blackbirding is almost like given virtually nothing in our history books. And so it is not a matter of Solomon Islands avoiding it. It's just that it's not being talked about at the level of education. And I, for one, since coming back from the States to the Solomon Islands, I've been wanting to rewrite our history. And blackbirding, the story of blackbirding is part of a history that I'd like to see rewritten, namely people to talk about it more openly. Because I am all for openly talking about these historical issues. Because the more, like I said, the more we talk about them, the more there'll be understanding, transformation, and realizing that, there's been some mistakes done, but let's not dwell on them and move forward and so forth. So the reason why it's not being talked about in Solomon Islands is because it's just not something that the history books of schools put too much emphasis on it, and it should be.
We'll leave it there. Let's hope that that is the case, that maybe the history books will start to reflect blackbirding in Solomon Islands now. David Welshwingegeo, thank you so much for joining us on Pacific Beat this morning. Dr. Welshwingegeo is a research officer at Solomon Islands at National University.